It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 324. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I am your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions or suggestions for future show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450. We also have the wiki. That's mtswiki.com. That's where you can get links to my studio, all the layout, the information, the software, hardware I'm using, but more importantly, those links to all of the archive shows, the past 323 shows. So there's a lot of material out there. There are lots of good content that you can plow through. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, and you can find out when I'm broadcasting and also when the content is being posted and when it's nice and fresh and you can get over and download it. I have a special show tonight, and I have a guest. Winston Wolf is joining me, and we're going to get to him in a minute or two, where we will be discussing the project that we worked on together for one of my clients, which was a small business server migration from 2003 to 2008. So we went from an older server to a newer server. You are going to hear a story that I think will entertain you, certainly spark the geek in you. And I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned. The nice thing, there's a silver lining to the whole project, which was great. Before we get started, let's take care of business. Anytime I can avoid getting in my car and driving to a meeting, I look to GoToMeeting. And you can have unlimited meetings and hold them every month for just $49 a month, as many meetings as you want. You go to GoToMeeting.com, ask everybody to go there and join your meeting. You can share your desktop on everybody else's desktop. You can use great tool set to help you make your presentation. You can actually hand off presentations to other people. It supports voice over IP, and you could do all of this, and you can kick the tires and try it out free for 30 days, but you have to go to gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for your free 30-day trial. Before we get started with our SBS migration tale, I have two quick notes that I want to cover. One, I need some suggestions. I have an iPhone 3GS with the latest 4, well, it's not the latest, but I think it's 4.01 for the OS. I have lost Wi-Fi capability. I have reset the network settings. I've rebooted the iPhone. I've done a lot of things, but I can't connect to my home Wi-Fi, and everybody else in the world can. That's visiting over my house. Winston had no problem. My kids, my wife, everybody has no problems. I can't connect with my iPhone. So I need some help. That's one. Two, last week I played Kate's story with her problem with Outlook. Your response was overwhelming. And I am going to cover all those responses and get an update from Kate, but I'm going to do that on the next show, because this show, I want to make sure that this is still fresh in our minds, and I need to get it on record, sort of. Kind of, this is the therapy for Winston and I to talk about this migration, but also to help you. And it's this type of story that will make you a better IT person. I really believe it. I know Winston and I learned a lot from this. So to begin, let me introduce my friend, my partner in this project, and I can't say enough. Without him, there is no way this project would have been successful and I would have been able to accomplish this. And please welcome Winston Wolf to the Mike Tech Show. Winston, thank you for taking the time and joining us.
Thanks for having me, Mike. Those are very, very kind words. I do not deserve them.
Yeah, you more than deserve them. And here's how I'm going to kick this off. You're going to hear some ups, some downs, successes, failures over the weekend that we're going to talk about technically. But one thing you must keep in mind, at the end of this, our client was happy. We did not impact the client. The pain and suffering was inflicted upon us, and that's how it should be. The IT support off hours. The client was not impacted. The client was doing cartwheels. One of the owners came to me Monday morning and said, I want to thank you for the unbelievable and incredible job that you and Winston have done here this weekend. That was my client's final thoughts on this in terms of it was a successful project. Let's talk about, and I'm going to lead right into Winston, where you knew this going in, but you didn't know that I provided the HP server that came with 4 network ports on the card. And you see this, and I will just, I'll let you begin with that.
So Mike spec'd out this fantastic server. Really, it is phenomenally well done. And the one thing I didn't even think to look at, and I should have, is the network card specification. And he got this great 4-port HP NIC, and we can't use it. We can use 1 port. We can't use all 4. The idea that Mike had in mind was, okay, let's get this 4-port NIC. We'll team the NICs and get some crazy bandwidth coming out of this thing.
Of course.
The problem is,
more is better.
Of course, more is always better. Hey, give me 32 gig of RAM.
Although we had 18 gig of RAM in this server.
18 gig of RAM.
Dual quad core. Yep.
With hyper-threaded enabled, we rocking 16 threads, 16 virtual cores total in there, and SQL was giddy with it.
Yep. But Winston, he sees this and says, Mike, Small Business Server only supports 1 NIC.
And unbelievable.
I was dumbfounded because at the root of Small Business Server is Windows Server 2008, right? I mean, why would they do that? Why?
Well,
why?
I'll tell you why. And it doesn't make any sense to me because in my mind, what they should have done to solve this problem was allow the techs to team these NICs and then treat them as 1 visible NIC to the operating system and then take care of their issues. And basically, what it is they have these SBS comes with this fantastic console, and even though it is Server 2008 in the background, it requires you to use these console that are built-in PowerShell scripts that you really never see, but they are there to do everything. And one of the scripts handles setting up the network and is looking for 1 network card. It cannot handle the idea of having multiple NICs. You can't even go in, team the NICs, hide them and show only 1 NIC, because since the operating system still sees the 4 NICs, it freaks out. It doesn't know what to do, and it explodes on you. You basically end up having to start all over.
So what this means to us in the project, we don't know which one is really going to be active, so we got to try all 4 and disable the other 3. And so along the way, that's always there. So just keep that in mind. We're going to move to the next step, which is in order to migrate a Small Business Server 2003 to 2008, you have to now begin the installation of 2008, but you have to prep the 2003 server. And in that preparation, when you run these utilities, we're not going to go into every single detail, but when you run these utilities, it builds this XML file for an auto installation. I get, what do they call that? The
SBS answers file .xml.
Thank you. The SBS answers file. And you put this on a USB stick that the installation of 2008 Small Business Server can read. So we go forward and we put the DVD in and we start the installation. What is the first thing we find out? Well, and it took, and wait, this took a couple hours before we found this out.
So we find out that it's not reading the answers file, and we're just scratching our heads going, why is it not reading the answers file? Why is it not reading the answers file? And we can't get beyond this.
Winston finds out that this HP server has an issue with a small business server migration to 2008. And the fact that you cannot read the answer file because you need the installation from USB. So we have to make a bootable USB stick with the DVD of Small Business Server 2008. I don't have the ISO files with me. So luckily the client doesn't leave, you know, doesn't live too far away from us. So Winston and I come home and to my house. I copy the ISO files to another hard drive, and then we load up with supplies, right? We know it's going to be a long night now. And so we grab some Diet Cokes, some water. There was some Philly pretzels laid in a bag. We kind of
hoagie.
Yeah. I got Winston a hoagie for the night. We load up on supplies and head back to my client. Because what was that? That was like midnight or after.
That was right after midnight.
Yep. Now we come back and Winston builds the bootable USB stick. Oh, it reads the file, but it doesn't recognize the NIC. That beautiful 4-port NIC, which, by the way, I didn't go out of my way to order. That was the default card with the server. And I love HP servers.
It's a rockin' server. It'd be a little bit better if they would give us the stupid drivers for that NIC.
If you were to get an HP server and you work with HP, you say, Mike, you got to use the Smart Start CDs. Well, remember, we're now booting off this USB stick. So you would think that if you have the Smart Start DVDs from HP, that you'd be able to get the drivers? No. They're in a compressed format that you can't get, so we can't use them. We now have to find out the model of the NIC. Winston opens the server. He's looking for the model, gets the model. We have the model in our hands, and we still can't find the driver. We search and scour the internet because we need a 64-bit NIC driver that we can load. For remember, it's really Server 2008. So we finally get that. What time do you think we finally got the driver for that?
I don't know. It was probably closer to 1:30 or something. I mean,
we're 1:30.
We had to search everything we could. And ultimately, we found the link to this driver from a third-party site that had a link back to HP because we couldn't find the actual stupid driver on the HP site.
Why should it be easy on the HP site to find it? You know, why, right? So we get the driver. So we think we're home free. We have the driver. We're ready to cook now. We're past this point. We've only spent 5 hours on this issue. We keep going. Well, the server comes up with a message saying, you did not prep your original server in order for me to talk to it and continue the migration.
Clearly, what? We had, because that's step number one. In order to get the answers file going, we have to do the prep.
Winston runs the prep again. I'm worried that you have to answer some questions, and so I'm saying maybe there's a typo. I make them build another XML file, and we start the whole process all over again. And we're still at the same point. We must have, what, 7, 8 times retried it, the whole process?
I think we tried it a total of 8 times before you know, Superman came in.
Let's say, what was this, like 3 or 4 in the morning? Or no, it was 3 in the morning, I remember, that we opened the ticket with Microsoft because they tell us it will take 2 hours to get back to us. And yes, it was about 2 hours.
Although, even though it was 2 hours, actually it was almost 2 hours on the money, wasn't it?
Right, it was.
The fact is that by being Microsoft partners, we did not have to pay for this ticket.
Yes, that was nice. That was really nice.
So, you know, for you techs out there, if you're not a Microsoft partner, it may be worth your while to do this.
Yes, because having that advantage, what do they charge if you're not a partner? It's got to be up to like $300 or $400.
Well, it's $300 if, I think it's $300 or two something if you call during normal business hours.
Right, but after hours,
it's almost $700.
Right. I say, that's it. We got a call, and we opened the ticket with Microsoft. The guy calls back, and it's almost 5 in the morning, and he remotes in to the old small business server 2003, and he starts finding, it takes time. Now, I'm going to fast forward where, what was it, like at least 9 a.m. when I guess everything was kicked off, like when it finally like got beyond the error.
Yeah, it was close. It was actually closer to 10 because I was starting to kind of go get woozy on lack of food and caffeine. And
remember, we're now up well over 24 hours at this point, the two of us. And also remember that Winston drove 11 hours to get here that day. I was up before 8 a.m. You were up before 8 a.m. And it's now almost 9 a.m. And we finally get it going. I'm going to let you explain the three errors and the three solutions that they found on the old server, which I am not responsible for that setup. So let me be clear. I inherited this account from an IT person who really messed things up and, remember, couldn't back up stuff and couldn't get the server back up. So this is a cloned server. This is an Intel clone that was a Frankenstein built by this IT guy who sold it to the client over 5 years ago, and he built Small Business Server 2003 on it.
I wouldn't say that he built SBS 2003 in it so much as I would say that he butchered SBS 2003 on it. And again, it serves to reiterate the fact that Mike inherited this. Okay, this was not Mike's doing.
Yep.
So there were three things completely wrong with it. DCOM was not running. NTFRS, the NT file replication server or service, I should say, was not running. It was actually set to disabled.
I'll never forget the Microsoft guy. He says, "You have to go out of your way to disable this service because by default it's on."
It's a necessity for Active Directory to replicate its data across to other servers. So the fact that NTFRS or the NT file replication service was disabled said scores about the lack of knowledge of the prior person that built this thing. And then to just top it all off, he had disabled the he had enabled the offloads to the NIC, to TCP/IP offloads on the NIC, which in the good old days, you know, was worthwhile. And I mean the good old days, figure 10, 13, 14 years ago. But with the speed of processors now, there's no sense in doing it. As a matter of fact, SBS 2003 flat out does not support it. It says, "No, thou shall not." So
those three things, it took a few hours, you know, figure it took 4 hours for Microsoft to come around and solve this, you know, so he's trying everything and he finally gets through to where we're at a point on the 2008 server where all we have to do is click a little button to recheck the connection back to the server. Now, there was no networking issues from a ping standpoint, from a switch standpoint. We know we could talk to the server. Right now, there was a moment where Winston clicks recheck, and it continues without the error. What was real nice about the Microsoft tech is he stayed on for a little while to make sure there was no error beyond that. And
yeah, he went well beyond the call of duty to stick around, because he really was done. As soon as that check cleared, he, by any right, could have said, okay, I'm done with this call, and if you need anything else, call us back and open up another ticket. But he hung out for an extra couple of hours to make sure that everything was going smooth for us. And not only that, he called us back on Monday saying, hey, wanted to make sure that everything finished well, that everything is perfectly running, and that you no longer need our assistance so that we can close this ticket. So that was very nice of him.
That was nice. So we now go, we get past the hump where the migration of the from the Microsoft side, from just a software standpoint, can happen. We're not talking data. We're not talking applications. We're just the core Microsoft software can continue its migration. So there's a lot of Active Directory things happening. There's lots of system things happening. When it's done, a couple hours, now we can begin the file migration. So Winston, actually, while some things were happening, it was kind of scary, Winston started copying small directories because we were trying to time it to make sure that, you know, during this migration, there's reboots that happens. And we were making sure we could copy things without a reboot happening. And we copied some little directories, but we had this really big data directory that we knew would take hours and hours and hours to migrate. And we figured when we kick that off, that's going to be our sleep time. So Winston uses RoboCopy and kicks off. We get to the point where you kick off the final data copy to where we know that's going to take at least 5 or 6 hours or more to copy. And that's it. Then we get to head home when you start that copy. So now what are we talking about? That's almost noon.
Yeah, we close out at close to 1?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we did. Because then we headed, Winston was hungry. I wanted to go to bed.
I was starving.
He was starving. I'm like, I want to sleep. So he goes, I take him back to Primo's because he loved that hoagie from the night before. And there's his notes. And he goes and gets a different sandwich, and we come home. I pick up one, but I said, you know, I'm going to eat that when I get up, and that'll be like breakfast when we get up. What time was that? 2100 to 11. Actually, so it was early.
Yeah, it was earlier than that. It was earlier than I thought, but lack of sleep was getting me rattled, I guess.
Yep. Now we get home, and we get to sleep, and it was great. I mean, we wake up, get ourselves together, shower, and get back. And we're back on site at 7 o'clock in the evening. Oh, in the middle of all of this, we're in a room where the entire office does not have the air conditioning on because they shut it down for the weekend. And it's not by our office. It's because of the building.
It had to be 90 degrees in that server room.
The server room, it was just so hot. And that whole night, so we don't realize, I don't, and Winston doesn't, there's this door to a hallway there that is always locked, and I never open it. I call to update one of the owners of the company to let her know what the status is, and she says, well, why don't you prop open that door? And then she gave me the office where there is a fan and go make it where it's cooler. So Saturday night was phenomenal. We have a really good Saturday night. We open the door, we get some air, we have the fan on, blowing some cold air from the hallway a little bit into the room that has the server. And we had some sleep. We're now thinking. So Saturday night goes pretty well, right? I think it does. We work to what, 1:30 in the morning. It is really nice, and we get the installation of some of my applications that have to be migrated. And I go through the install process that was given to me prior to this migration when I had a conference call with the manufacturer of the software. Remember that, because that's key for later in the story, where I was told step by step, and you know what? We're going to call out the manufacturer for this. It was Cabinet NG, and the program and the engineer, Richard, who gave me the exact instructions. As a matter of fact, remember how happy I was that I
don't think
what
I don't think Richard's going to work there very much longer if he's still working there today.
I know Richard may not be there as of now. Anyway, 2 weeks prior to this, Richard, the engineer, walks me through the migration, exactly what I have to do. And I write it down step by step. And guess what? I follow everything step by step. But we have trouble logging into the application. Okay? But the other big application, we're able to get in. And we decide their third biggest application. They have one that's called Advisor's Assistant. That went well. Then we have another one that a lot of you, some of you may be even familiar with. It's called Time Clock Plus. So we have three major applications that have to be migrated. And then we're successful on one. We're like halfway on the other. And we said, you know what? We're close enough. Let's save the third for Sunday morning. So we come back at 10 a.m. Sunday morning. So we leave 1:30 in the morning or after early Sunday morning, and then we get some sleep, and we come back. We're refreshed 10 a.m. This time, we bring Ryan with us, my son, who's going to help us if we have to go around and touch all the workstations. And then at noon, one of the owners, she comes in to help because she wants to test and make sure the applications are working. Well, CNG just doesn't work. It asks for the program to be registered. Richard, the engineer, clearly told me nobody works over the weekend. There's nobody there. And as a matter of fact, all three apps, there's nobody there. It's Sunday morning, and we know we don't have anybody to call for support. I want to back up a little bit. There is an issue where Winston and Carrie completely agree on something that I am definitely opposed to. And it's empty folders. Carrie will run a utility on a workstation that deletes empty folders. And he lets it go and he rip and replace, and it deletes empty folders. Winston does the same thing. He copies RoboCopy. He uses RoboCopy and he says, you know what? I'm going to copy everything, but I'm not going to copy those empty folders. Why would you not copy empty folders? Well, I know for a fact that we have a multifunction machine at the office that scans to the network, and everybody's name is there listed for a folder. There's another area where everybody's name is listed for faxes. So all of those folders and that entire folder structure would be empty because people will then put files in there. Semantic is another program that likes empty folders. I copy empty folders. As a matter of fact, and I think that's what's happened. Winston, you've never been burned by empty folders, where I have.
Well, I've never been burned until this weekend.
Until this weekend. So, of course, he's like, wait a second. We're like, the folder count doesn't happen. And he says, yeah, I didn't copy empty folders. So he has to redo his scripts for copying, and it's not that bad.
But the beauty of RoboCopy is that it compares the source to the destination, and it only copies and does the changes that need to happen instead of the whole thing. So that large share that we copied, that you know that we left running Saturday night to Sunday morning, that thing took almost 8 hours, people.
That's
so
right.
If that had to been done over again, I think I would have just pulled my hair out and been done with it.
Yep. So look at Kate. Kate mentions, Mike, it's not like he deleted all the company email. I know. It's one of those little things that I know because I've been burned, and I guess that's why. Anyway, so that was just one little thing. Everything after this, we started just whatever could go wrong did. But there was a couple things that happened that we were prepared for the worst. The time clock software. I finally get it migrated, and Winston's helping me, and we get the data migrated on Time Clock Plus. I need you to help. All of a sudden, Sunday night, Winston takes a look at this one at the workstation where I have the new install running, and a bell goes off. He says, I got it. I know what's wrong. And he goes and he runs back to the server. And then he comes back and he's like, try it now. And it works. What did you do?
So we've been having the problem with Time Clock Plus not working. And I hadn't been part of that because I was still working on the migration on the server and I wasn't paying much attention to it. I knew that Mike was having the problem and he was working on it, right? And when I finally done with the server aspect of the migration, I'm looking over Mike's shoulder to see, you know, maybe I can help. And I finally see this error, and I see the error, and it's like, I know what that is. So I run back to the server, and I open up the SQL 2005 configuration tool. And by default, it starts with name pipes, and then it goes to TCP/IP, and then it goes to something else I can't remember. But the software knows about name pipes, but it didn't know how to handle them. So as soon as I disabled name pipes, bring up TCP/IP to the number one protocol to be used, it happens. It starts to work.
We got the Time Clock Plus running. We got Advisor Assistance running. The only application, the major application that we don't have running is a program called CabinetNG, or to be referred to as CNG. Well, we know we got to call support in the morning. The owner, the partner in the company, she says, look, this is great. We've migrated the printers. Oh, two things. And I know I keep bouncing around, and I really should stick to the list here that I put together. There are two areas that if Winston and I were betting, these two would be the absolute major problems that we were going to run into. One was the SSL certificate. And I think all of you, if you have been with me and have been listening all along, there was a while back where I talk about the pain of getting SSL implemented with one of my clients, and they don't own their website in order to get to prove who you are, and I had to go through major pain, and I warned Winston this, and he said, look, just get me the login for GoDaddy where we bought the cert and the password, and let me give it a try. Well, we learned an incredible thing. If you have already went through and proved that you are the owner, you can move a cert from one server to another and not have to go through that verification and proof process.
Yeah, what we had to do is we had to rekey the cert because the new server would have its own key that we had to generate. And it, you know, worked great. I was not expecting that. I was expecting to have to go through the whole process of reproving the fact that, yes, we are the owners and creating a CNAME and creating a web page. And
yep.
But that went actually a whole lot smoother than I ever expected.
It was supposed to. And then there was one other thing. The two owners have Blackberries, and we got this little Blackberry Enterprise server that I had built a few months ago, and I have no idea how I'm going to sync it to the new Exchange server. And the owner is right there, like, as I'm doing this. And so I just confidently go in and say, whoa, and I see that the BSX admin account just needs to be picked to point to the new server. I do that, and then I quickly restart the server. Now, I'm not sure what's going to happen when this other server reboots for the BlackBerry Enterprise server, because I don't know if I nailed it and connect it. And this has been in the back of my mind saying, I'm going to have to call RIM and open up a ticket, and I know I'm going to have to work with them, and we're going to have to fix this. After the server reboots, instantaneously, she starts getting her email on the BlackBerry. She says, it works, and she walks away. Winston looks at me, and he was like, oh, my. I was like, I mean,
I didn't know what in the world he had pulled up. I'm just like, BlackBerry Enterprise is such a pain in the butt. How did you manage to get this running this fast?
It's amazing because maybe, see, the server gods said Mike and Winston has suffered too much to this point, and they needed a break.
We were being tested.
And so two things that we thought were going to be just terrible, they actually went perfectly. I want to start wrapping up, but there's something very important that I want to get to the end of this story. That Monday morning, we get a hold of tech support and at this CNG company, Cabinet NG. Well, we get a hold of Chuck. Chuck's a great guy. And Chuck wants to know, who told you this? Richard? Richard and I are going to have a talk. And then it sounded like this was Richard's boss. And so as Chuck begins to help me, as I said, you know, he told me that you don't have to register the program for 2 weeks and you can still use it. Richard was wrong. You absolutely need to have this registered. And the only way to get this key, you have to generate a key. You then have to send it to Cabinet NG, and they send you a key back that you got to paste. And he says, actually, we like to remote in and do this, so this way you don't even have to worry about emailing it. He's remoted into the server, and he's doing this. And he said, I work weekends just for this. He says, you said you were doing this migration on the weekend? He says, if that had gotten to him, he would have scheduled to be in, and he would have met with me online, and we would have fixed this. How could the other tech not tell me that when it wasn't even his responsibility to work the weekend? It was going to be this guy, Chuck. I don't understand. So I was brought down the wrong path for this software to be installed on the server, but Chuck cleaned it up. We found out that we had to really touch every client because the client, some of them were pre-programmed to go to the old server name. And since the server name changed, we had to go back in and we entered the correct way is you're supposed to put the IP address in there. So we put the IP address of the new server, which is not going to change. And we did that on all the clients. And actually, Winston and I and one of our client, you know, one of the owners, Pat, she went around and we made sure everybody was connecting to this application CNG. Now, we think we're done. It's 11 o'clock noon on Monday. We say goodbye and leave for the night. Matter of fact, Winston was going to head home.
I might add that Mike talked me out of going home so that I could go to Nabrasa with him.
I want to take him to a nice dinner at Nabrasa, and he hangs around. And you did have another hoagie on Monday too. That was an incredible.
That was a good hoagie, man.
So I have a good place to take him for lunch, and I also hang out, and you know, I'll also take you to dinner. Then you head back. So he's here at 4 o'clock. I get a panic phone call from my client that journaling does not seem to be happening. Now, we thought it was happening because Winston configured Exchange 2007, where we have to, every email has to be duplicated, and we're going to say in the cloud, at two places within a company called LiveOffice. And what they do is they take an archive in two different places every single email. Well, we're going to fast forward. It's 7:30 at night, and it's not solved. And it's going to be then handed off to me at 11 a.m. the next day because they're in California. So we believe we are not journaling. We barely make dinner at 8 o'clock. Winston is so stressed out because of what was happening with this journaling, where they really put him through hell on the phone. And he is stressed out, and you really didn't enjoy that dinner.
It was LiveOffice who put me through hell, not the client.
That's right. That's right.
You can choose to edit this out if you wish, but I will never in a million years use their service for anyone.
Well, I'll tell you why I'm going to leave that in. Because The next day, I spend 5 hours on the phone with Live Office, and we only get journaling to work with one side. So we don't get both. We only get one side. And here's what happens. And we find out later that night, I'm with my client because I'm beginning the workstations testing, and there's some work to be done. And so I'm with Pat, who's the owner of the company, and we're there, and we get a final call from Live Office, and they say, and Winston has never heard this, okay? And I've meant to tell him. They kept saying, you did not tell us you were going to be migrating from Exchange 2003 to Exchange 2007. Pat, without a thought, says, you show me where on your website where you demand that we have to tell you that. Show me right now. And they couldn't. That's one. Okay, so that was tremendous. And Winston did not hear that.
I overall, I love Pat's attitude.
Yes, and that was great. And I knew you would like that. Then second, they tell us that because it's Exchange 2007, they are incapable of doing double archiving. They can only do one. So they pick the one, and that's why one works, and that's why the other can't. They actually don't have the capability set up or their back end to do that from an Exchange 2007 server. You got to be kidding me. They can't take this and archive it in two places. Are they out of their... Well, I don't want to get started there. But let's say that if you need compliance and your archived mail, your mail archived for SEC compliance, Sarbanes-Oxley, on and on, FINRA, all of the alphabet soup of compliances, I think you have two thumbs down here from Winston and Mike on Live Office. So if we talk about lessons to be learned, that's one.
And for what it's worth, I've done journaling for clients and used Microsoft. Never a problem.
And by the way, we may be calling upon that soon for the second journaling, where we may be doing the one that is working, leave that alone at Live Office, make them give us the money back from the other side of the journaling, and we may light that up. And so that's a possibility, Winston, that I will be calling upon you when we set that up. That is the migration tale. Well, I would like to say that was it, but there's also some little exchange issues going on with the calendar, going on with the login, where Outlook keeps prompting for a password, and that's not supposed to happen. We applied Service Pack 2 for Exchange 2007 on Monday night. And we apply it, and that seems like it took forever. And even when the update was trying to happen, it said, you don't have this registry entry. Okay, we make the registry entry. Oh, you have another account logged on. So even when we're trying to apply the service pack cleanly, it keeps telling us to do this, to do that. And we're just obeying. Okay, let's do that. Let's do that. We obey all of the steps, which, by the way, I'm very impressed at that, because I had never applied an Exchange 2007 service pack. And, you know, it is very intuitive. It's very good. And it does all of the checks to make sure that everything's going to go proper. So in that case, I am very happy.
Without requiring a reboot.
Yes, and all without a reboot. Exchange 2007, it just goes through. I log on as my client's account for remote desktop into her desktop. The errors are gone. On the following morning, Tuesday morning, before I start my phone calls with Live Office, my client tells me that their calendar problems are fixed. So a little annoyance that did happen within Exchange, Service Pack 2007 fixed it. So another lesson learned, apply the latest service packs and roll-ups when you're done your migration, because it's the right thing to do. And especially when you're working with the server, and I, you know, especially when you're working with Exchange. What did we learn here? I know what I learned. I got to do more hardware prep. And I think, Winston, if you were going to go into a migration, we're going to check the services on those other account, those things now, right?
That's in my new checklist. Check the services on the registering server because even though the prep tool takes care of everything, part of the prep tool that doesn't do is check to make sure that file replication is running and all the other stuff that it needs for the replication to happen is running. So I added three steps to my checklist.
Another one is I have a recommendation for you. I don't think you should only use the USB stick for installing 2008.
You know what? I think I'm going to leave that one that I built.
And use that.
And use that.
Yep, I agree.
Something that we haven't mentioned is that we built that using the Windows 7 USB tool. And you can use the Windows 7 USB tool to build this thing, to build anything that is Microsoft related up. I think they'll actually even do any ISO-based OS.
You know what? You got to send me a link.
It with 7, Vista, and Server 2008 and SPS 2008.
Send me a link to that. That is an important link for the show notes. You got to be able to react on the fly. And I think that's what made this successful, was that no matter what Winston and I were hit with, we had something to try, something to do to keep it moving forward. And we weren't stopped no matter what we were confronted with, and we just kept plowing through to get it right, and we made sure. Now, yes, some things took time, but that's okay. We eventually got there, and that's why I think I wanted to do this show and dedicate it to this topic, because we might be saving you a few hours of work. This tool,
I hope at least a few hours.
At least a few. If you're doing any migration from Small Business Server, or you know what? It doesn't have to be Small Business Server. Any migration, make sure that you do the prep work by contacting the manufacturer. Maybe you'll get luckier than me with a tech, with the software. Make sure you go through and you have all that ready. Make sure that you have every driver, especially the NIC. The NIC is the most important thing, and I cannot believe I entered into this not having the NIC drivers on a USB. Here's one that delayed us a little bit, and you're not going to believe this. We found out that the USB stick, when we started out, that Winston was using was too big. It was an 8-gig stick, I believe, correct?
And you, I started using a 16-gig stick, and you can only use 8 or smaller, I found out.
Yeah. So even that we didn't even get into talking about, we ran into. If there was something that we could hit, this was a testimonial to Murphy's Law. Every step of the way, we continue to be challenged with whatever issues that you could ever think of at that point. And it was challenging, frustrating at some points, but a huge satisfaction when we were done. I know on my back porch on Sunday evening, it was Winston and I with a couple cigars and a couple beers. And that's how we closed off Sunday night. And we clicked bottles and said, to a successful migration. And that was it. And I think that's how I'm going to wrap up. And Winston, I cannot thank you enough for not only being here and being through the stress, the non-stress, the good, the bad, everything from this past weekend. I've learned an incredible amount from you, and my client loves you, and I can't ask for any more from a project. And I thank you so, so very much.
Well, and I thank you for including me in it, Mike. It was, for all the good and bad, I mean, it was still fun. So
yep.
I'm glad I got a chance to be part of it.
Well, thank you. And that's it, everybody. And with that, I am going to close, and I will be back next week, same time, same place. Hey, don't forget my Amazon link. at MikeTechShow.com. And also all of the affiliate links, please support the Mike Tech Show. A donation button on the right-hand side can't hurt. So thank you very, very much. I really appreciate it. And you know what? Before I wrap up, I forgot to play this. I can't be there, but PodCamp Philly is right around the corner. Give a listen.
Hi, this is Paul Muller from the Caffeination Podcast. I wanted to tell you about a fantabulous event coming up here in the fall. That's October 2nd and 3rd for people with calendars handy. It's called PodCamp Philly. Now, it's not just about podcasting. It's also about digital and social media and how we use it in our everyday lives. That's everything from blogging to business and beyond. So join us on October 2nd and 3rd at Temple University for PodCamp Philly. Learn something, share something, join the event, and join the discussion. PodCamp Philly, this unconference is for you.
Now, I would love to be there at PodCamp Philly, but guess what? That's when the workstation migration is going to be happening for this client. They've upgraded the server to a new server. Now, I have all the workstations that are going to be 64-bit Windows 7 Ultimate, and I have that migration to happen that weekend. So that's real important, and that's where I'm going to rely on my kids. Michael Jr. and I, we're going to start some of that on this Saturday. So wonderful stories to come on that. That's it. A little longer show than normal, but I think it was worth it. Thank you so much, everybody. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.